Because it matters. Connected doors make our life easier. Why this is the case, what it has to do with service in advance, and what other benefits integrated smart access brings, we discuss in this episode. Let's explore the world of safe, secure, and seamless access solutions together with our host, Wilma Werner.
Welcome to Because It Matters, the podcast where we open the doors to innovation, merge aesthetic with function and security with elegance. Hi, everyone. On this episode of the podcast, I welcome Aurore Christolom and Tony Merva. And Aurore, I apologize in advance because I will never be able to pronounce your name as perfectly as you do. Aurore, let's start with you. Please introduce yourself.
Hello, Wilma. Thank you very much for the introduction and thank you for allowing me to be here. I work for Dormakaba and I'm in charge of the specification strategy. I've been with Dormakaba for approximately 6 years now. For me, it's a very interesting company because it's an international company. It's a mix of innovative solutions, but also a strong experience. Plus nice people. So it's a very interesting company.
That is great to hear, working with nice people and talking about fantastic people. Hi, Tony. Welcome to the podcast as well. Please introduce yourself as well.
Yeah. Hi, Wilma. Also glad to be here and to talk about a very exciting topic, the digitalization of doors. I'm with Dormakaba in total since 15 years, more or less. I'm the business owner for Global Service. And the digitalization of our products is driving me. Very excited today to talk about the topic together with you and Dormakaba.
And excited to have you as the expert of today's episode and to get to know the two of you a little bit more. You are experts in your field professionally. If we called you for a field of expertise from your spare time, from your private life, what would we probably call you for? It could be baking, it could be breeding of cats, it could be hiking, whatever it is. What would we probably call you for?
For me, probably people would call me for cooking advice, if I can say.
Oh, I need a lot of that. Yeah, thank you.
I like cooking. Yes, yes. Not the best cook in the world, but I enjoy it at least.
But you enjoy it,
Yeah.
And Tony, what will we call you for? Probably.
Good question. Maybe everything that is fun. So if we like to go on a mountain biking ride, then that is what you would call me for, or a motorcycle ride, that as well. But professionally also, maybe if you want to have some technical stuff at home that you want to fix, then also just call me. I can sometimes help with that as well.
Today's topic are doors, especially connected doors. Please, the two of you, tell us why you are an expert and why you are a perfect guest for this episode today.
Tony, you want to go first?
I wanted to say ladies first, but yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's what guys always say if they don't want to go first.
Okay.
Tony.
Okay, so I take my hat and drink, no problem. What makes me an expert? Look, I started at Dormakaba really as a field service technician. So I got to know all the technical matters around our products pretty well. And as well, of course, what matters to our customers when it comes to the technical resolution of service demands for our products. And as I moved on at Dormakaba, I went to service sales. So also focused on the commercial side of what service is about and what service demands and needs the customer have, what issues they are facing. And, you know, when I moved into the global role, interestingly enough, with digital solutions, all of that somehow became easy to address somehow. You know, things got together in a certain way where you say, okay, you have a technical aspect, you have a commercial aspect of things, and connected doors are going in favor of solving this kind of customer topics. Yeah. So and now, meanwhile, I'm focusing for quite a while on that because it's a strategical priority for the Dormakaba service teams to have a digital connected solutions to solve customer demands somehow. So yeah, I would say that that makes me somehow suitable for this podcast.
And I could see that Aurore was nodding already. Aurore, what makes you an expert for this episode?
Me? So I don't come from service specifically, unlike Tony, but I'm a very curious person and I love, I like lean, sustainable solutions. I always try to look for solutions which improve. So it can be tools, it can be products and solutions. And this, for me, this solution really caught my eye because it does allow smarter buildings, smarter doors. And so I'm very happy about this solution, which we will explain in a minute. Yeah, I keep promoting it all the time because I think it brings a lot of benefits. And it's really going in the direction. It's not futuristic because it's happening today, but it is something that I guess we will see more and more of in the future.
And if you said you promote the product, and what is the benefit that you highlight if you talk to people about it?
The benefits is
one of them. Don't spoil it too much. We still have a full episode to record. Okay.
One of the benefits for me, and sorry, maybe I will spoil a little bit, but the way I explain it is everything you would normally see on the door, in front of the door, you can see anywhere, from anywhere, anytime, instantly. So it's you don't have to be physically in front of the door to see what's happening in case there is any issue, anything. So you're able to act very fast and you're able to detect any issue in regards to your access in a very fast and controlled way.
Mm-hmm. And if you had the chance to see the doors from afar of any building in the world that you haven't seen yet, which one would you love to see?
Taj Mahal.
The Taj Mahal, And Tony, what about you? Which building would you love to see from afar? The doors.
my first thought was the White House, but
got it. So it's the Taj Mahal from Aurore and the White House from Tony. Thank you very much.
Understanding connected doors.
You already nearly spoiled something about the solutions that we were to talk about. So let's dive into the first solution, connected doors. Please, the two of you, can you first explain to us what exactly are connected doors?
Well, connected doors. Look, if you look at all devices in your home today, there is nearly the expectation that everything is kind of connectable, steerable with IoT in a solution with your mobile phone or on a web app, and that is exactly what we are going or what we are doing at the moment with connected doors. So connected doors usually have a little IoT connector in there, which is able to send the data of the controller into a web application for the customer. So they can see the utilization of the door. They can see if everything is okay or if there is anything to take care about. And they can also see, you know, what to do with that. So is there any minor thing like an emergency push button that is pressed and I just need to release it and then the door is in operation again? So that is what we are doing with connected doors. We bring real life data insights to customers for their peace of mind, to see that they have that everything is operational and works just as perfect as it's supposed to be.
That you mentioned peace of mind that these doors bring and the data that it brings. Can you tell us a bit more about the data? So if I imagine I was the operator of the door, I maybe was the installer of the door, what data specifically is of high interest to me?
Yeah. I mean, let's think in a scenario. Let's think about you are the facility manager, building operator for multiple branches, for example. Yeah, let it be bakeries or let it be petrol stations or retail shops or whatever. How would you know if everything is right or wrong? You simply can't today. So therefore, we give you the information of errors, so very specifically. So does the door is operational and works good, everything is fine? Or does it have maybe a minor malfunction? Yeah, is there maybe an obstruction, something that is hindering the door to close? That would be a data point that is available. As well, what we can show you is all the status information. So is the door locked? Is it unlocked? What is the program switch position of this door? And as well, what is the utilization of the door? So how many cycles does this door have? So for example, if you want to somehow compare what in my installed base of doors are the doors with the highest utilization, so those ones maybe you also want to take care of a bit more, then the solution will tell you or show you what is exactly this.
I am just imagining a company. You mentioned bakeries. I was like, well, they do have quite a lot of branches around Germany, for example. But imagine there's an international chain of bakeries. Is there any restriction geographically to how big this total IoT could be in the end? Or could I be a worldwide bakery and have all... how many thousand doors they would be visible in one spot. Would that be possible?
Yeah, for sure. That is the beauty, right? You can connect all of that and just have it in your dashboard right away, even on a map. So you can even see it on a map. So where all your bakeries are just live, and is everything fine with the doors in that in the facilities?
I like how you just nonchalantly just say, yes, of course.
Of course. And for example, in Switzerland, so it was not a case of international locations, but to show you, to illustrate how fast we get the information, we knew before the customer that the door had a problem. So we could... get in touch with the customer and say, don't you have a problem on your door? Do you need us? Do you need support? Or are you able to fix it yourself? So we were, and the customer went to the door and said, yeah, it was open. Thank you. So it's really the data that you get enables you to best monitor your building and have the control over what's happening. So you enable, we like to call it seamless flow. You mm-hmm. enable the people, the occupants, to have a good experience in the building. And this is something that this matters to, of course, to the occupants, to the final customers, but it does matter to the architects when they are designing the project, the building, right from the beginning. Because it's coming more and more, this trend of smart building, a building that tells you what's going well, what's not going well, is something that, which is more and more critical today.
And can you give us an example, a vivid example of how connected doors have improved a specific building or facility?
We do have several examples now. We can get the data from the doors, plus we can act also. So we can illustrate on both aspects. So the first one will be in a management university in Singapore. Mm-hmm. We were able to connect all of the doors together so that the occupant is able to see permanently, even if you monitor from your office, I can say, from your the desk where you are, you're able to monitor the full university as big as it can be.
Yeah, how many doors are we talking about when we talk about that university?
It's around 100 doors.
Yeah, and exactly.
This is only one application. Then we have another application in France. It's different because not all the doors, it's not a one big location with 100 doors. It's a bit more like what you illustrated with the bakeries. So in France, we do have this storage company. So small facilities with a few doors each connected, but plenty of different buildings, plenty of different locations in France. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to be able to monitor, and they must ensure the access 24/7, but also to ensure the security. So there's always this duality. And now they are able to do that thanks to the solution. So it's another illustration. And another one we can name, which is here more in terms of action, because not only can you get the data from the doors, but you can also act remotely to some extent, of course, with some permissions and some... you need to make sure that when you act, you are entitled to do so. The example is in Australia.
Okay, so the Australian example.
The famous Australian example, exactly. Interestingly enough, I mean, there are so many use cases that we haven't even thought about. And one was this Australian example, and that was a petrol station company that also is all over across Australia, of course. And what the issue they had, or they solved with the solution, was kind of an interesting one, because you know, petrol stations at nighttime, they are closed, and they have this little counter on the side, more or less, where you can still serve your customers somehow through a window, but the door is closed, so the shop is closed. And what happens there actually, that this door is switched to exit only, so the staff still can go out, but no one can go in anymore. And what happened there is that from time to time, if the staff in the petrol station wanted to go out and check something at the petrol station itself at this nighttime, they forgot to take the keys. And obviously that is not good, right? At the moment, then your petrol station is no one is in there anymore, so you cannot service any customers anymore, which is not so good. And they asked us if we would be able. If they are requesting with a proper permission process somehow, if we would be able to open their doors then remotely in this scenario. And that was actually achieved. So now if they have this scenario, then they don't need to travel, close down the petrol station for 2 hours for someone to get the keys again, but they actually can just call us and we can solve this issue in a minute, which is kind of an interesting use case that we have solved there with this Australian customer.
And even from very remote situation, you were able to do that. That, you know what that reminds me of very painfully? That reminds me of a situation that I had 3 weeks ago, because I locked myself out of my own apartment for the first time in 2.5 years.
That happens.
It happened to me the first time. And now that you mentioned it's able that someone else opens your door remotely, I was like, I would have loved to have that. We should implement these with privately owned living spaces. That would have helped. It would have saved me quite a lot of money. But anyways.
We understand.
Talking about how this would change interaction of us with these doors, that will be one solution. Is there a type of facility or company that you would love to implement these doors for that do not yet have connected doors?
Well, for me, there are various ones, right? I think about, in our actual today service business, I often think about airports. You know, you have this large, humongous airports, you sometimes even go like an hour to a door. So even if you are on site, you still need an hour to get there. And obviously, if you know what is going on site, what's going on at that door beforehand, you can either maybe even resolve it remotely, or you know what's going on, so what part to bring and stuff. That would be so much of help. So airports is something where which is a nice somehow scenario as well to have disconnected doors, because it really helps even on-site staff to be more efficient and somehow have a better experience for also the guests there at the airport.
It's a very good example, because you cannot send any technician to service a door at an airport. It must be a technician who has been trained and who is he has the agreement to enter and service something at an airport. It's very restrictive, which means that if you need to send someone to check what's happening on the door, then the person does not have the correct spare part, comes back, need to come again. You cannot send anyone. So it's really optimized if you already have all of the information, all of the data before. So yeah, it makes a lot of sense for airports.
Thank you very much.
Maintenance and advanced technologies.
So you just gave us examples of, if I have a problem as the door operator and I need some help, you are here to help, which is great to hear, of course. I just wonder, how does the door itself, how do connected doors inform facility managers or building owners directly about necessary maintenance? And could you describe how does this work in real life? Give us an example.
Yeah, of course. So the technical part of it is that actually there is an IoT connector, which is a little box. Yeah, you can imagine it as a little box that is connected to the operator, to the controller of the operator, actually. And then this little IoT connector box sends the data into a cloud. So we're talking about a cloud solution. And from this cloud, we are able to either give you a dashboard where you can see all this kind of things, yeah, or even integrate it into your facility management software, right, via APIs, what it's been called. So this is how we can show you the data very firsthand. Then second of all, you can get notifications, so you can, as a customer, select, you know, do you want to get notifications, yes or no? Do you want to get it via email or SMS? Yeah, also depending on, you know, do you always carry a laptop with you or sitting on a desk somehow, then you maybe want to receive it as an email. But if you are like a facility manager, more mobile in the building, maybe you want to receive it as an SMS. So therefore, you get this real-time instant notifications by this notification preferences that you can just set up as you like to.
So anything that happens to the door, you will know instantly.
So I could have like those push notifications on my cell phone if I wanted to.
Yes,
and if there's a building with 1,000 doors that I operate, my cell phone would explode probably.
No, you don't have problems all the time. Of course, you still have reliable products and installation. So it's more in case anything happens, which is related to the door itself or to the usage of the door, then yes, you would receive an alert. And you can select what type of alert do you want, because maybe some alerts are just minimal and do not. Depends on the type of building. It depends on the type of security and the level of service that you need. Depends on how many people are indeed on the premise. So it depends on a lot of things, but you're able to select the notifications that you really need for your building. Yeah.
If Tony was the operator of the White House, they would probably receive a lot of notifications.
Possibly. possibly. Yeah, and to add on Aurora's comment, exactly like you said, right? Of course, the doors run absolutely reliable. So also, you know, what we see in service is the peak of the mountain somehow. Yeah, that is some doors sometimes have an issue due to external factors, or really because something just broke due to wear and tear or something. So you will not get, you know, every day, like every second, any notifications, but just as you need it. And the good thing there is, you know, if you're a building operator, the solution provides the information that matters. And the first one is, when will you know it? And you know it instantly. Yeah, real-time information. You get instant notification when something happens. Hmm. The second is, what is the actual issue? So the solution provides an information about, you know, what is going on. But still, you know, if someone calls you, says, I have an issue with the door, you wouldn't know what's going on. With this solution, you are aware of what is the thing that is going on inside. And then third of all, the solution also provides an information on how to solve it. Yeah. So it's like this three elements of troubleshooting that are quite necessary. Is time to detection, which is instant, and then what is the issue, and then also how to solve it. Yeah, that is what the solution can provide here.
I like the third part especially.
have the solution. Yes, and we developed a text which is there are two different texts. One is for service technicians, so highly technical elements, and the other one is more for user friendly, so with a sentence that tells you, you should do that, and you should be able to solve the problem by yourself. So it is, one is very, very friendly.
Yeah, like end user friendly, exactly. Like the notifications that you have from your computer, for example, you have the very specific ones.
Exactly.
For the experts, and then you have me. I'm the lighter version.
Yes.
Got it. Very user friendly as well.
Yes. And Wilma, also you mentioned something before regarding the maintenance. If I can add something here, this system allows you to monitor remotely again the number of cycles, which means how many times does each door open and close. And so why do you want to see that? It's just like a car. When you use it a lot, maybe you want to service it a bit more, and just to make sure that everything, in terms of operation, is smooth and working well. So, in some countries, you do have an obligation to maintain and service your doors, okay? But some of them are more used than others, which means that they have more chance to having problems or issues, or maybe they have more critical access to your building. So with the data, you're able to see which are the doors which are more used than the others. So the day you do the service, of course you want to either have more visits for these specific doors, or maybe more attention when you check everything, make sure that this is a very critical access to your building. So you want to make sure that this one is when you have a critical access, you want to make sure it's perfect and it's
taken care of.
Exactly. It allows you to have a better maintenance plan.
So it doesn't only detect like disturbances when they occur, but it also gives me an estimation of how long is probably gonna take until the door needs some maintenance.
Exactly. So you can predict what will happen in the future, and you can service your building in a more optimized way and take the good level of attention everywhere.
And can you, the two of you, give us some more information about the role of Motion IQ in conjunction with the ED100 and ED250? Can you briefly explain what these two are?
Yeah, it's another aspect. Smart building is data, but even more importantly than getting and receiving the data, it's what you are able to do with this data. How you can use the access, the doors in our case, but in general in the building, what you can do, how you can act based on this knowledge, based on this data. So the ED operator, it's an operator for swing doors, automatic swing doors. Okay, so this is a standard product for Dormakaba. And what we did is develop a sensor which is smarter than regular sensors. Instead of just detecting when someone is approaching, just as a regular sensor would do, so normally you detect that someone is in the zone that the sensor is detecting someone approaching, okay? It sends the order to open the door. The door opens, stays open for some time. You set up a number of seconds that hold open, okay? And then the person goes through. There's another sensor which tells you, okay, there's no one in... which, after the hold open, the door closes again. And on if there is someone in the still in the area, then it remains open. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, sorry, it's quite detailed, but I'm trying to illustrate what's the difference between before and after. Okay, so this is before. After, what happens is... the sensor itself allows a smarter use of the operator of the swing door. So it detects different things. First, it detects if the person is going in the direction of the door. So if someone is not going towards the door, then the sensor will not tell the operator to open the door, which is something different than with standard standard sensors. The second one, and I think it's very, again, exciting, the new Motion IQ is able to detect the speed. So when someone is coming in the direction of the door at a very high speed, you want to start the opening of the door quite early on so that the person will... arrive in front of the door and the door will be open. Okay, so you can adapt and have a smarter door. And so the opposite is someone arriving very slow. You don't need to open very early on. It's okay. You can start the opening the door quite late, which allows you also to make sure that you do not have the building open for too long, for nothing, because this is a very critical aspect, also to architects, the sustainability aspect, the fact that you want to limit the exchanges of the heat transfer between outside the building and inside. So everything we can do to make sure the doors are open just when they need to be open is going in the correct direction. So again... all innovations we are trying to develop go in that direction, getting solutions which are more and more connected, more and more smart, smarter and smarter, and more in the direction of making sure the operation in the building is optimized.
Which sounds, so it makes it more convenient for all the clients and everyone passing by and going through the door, for the operators, and it's more energy efficient as well.
Completely. Yes.
Exactly that. I think that is, and that is the most exciting part, you know, from the innovation perspective. Motion IQ really solves an issue there and reduces CO2 emission. You know, the most, interestingly enough, most energy losses somehow in a door are when the door is open. So it's not going through ceilings or something, but really when the door is open. So therefore, Motion IQ can significantly reduce this whole open time on the door by just opening as long as soon as it needs to be when someone approaches the door, and then also closing right in time. So it reduces the hold open time of the door, and therefore helps the building operator to run a more efficient, energy efficient building somehow. So that is
can you quantify that for if you say the hold open time is reduced, can you like percentage-wise, tell us how much that is?
There is a way to calculate. You have to enter... It does depend upon each installation. So what we developed, and thank you for asking the question, is a tool to calculate and to compare different doors. So you can compare, but the result... The percentage will really depend on what you compare. So, and so this calculator has been developed together with an external company. So it's not only Dan Makaba based. We developed it with searchers, and it's called DEC, Door Efficiency Calculator. And you can, for example, select with or without Motion IQ, or you can also compare a swing door to a sliding door in case you want to select between different types of doors.
So does it? But can you tell us about the range? Is it somewhere between 1% and 2%, or is it between 5% and 8%, or is it 70% to 80%?
I don't have numbers right in my mind, but I remember, you know, we had this solution on the Bau Fair. Yeah. And if I remember well, it said something like, you know, up to 40%. And the reason for that is if you are able to reduce the hold open time by halving it. So, you know, if you adjust the door, you want to somehow open it and you want to make it convenient somehow so that it's open long enough so that you're not standing in front of a closed door. Yeah, that is basically what it is. So I think it can really help you to at some point really halve the time that the door is standing open, which leads to a significant reduction of energy losses through that door. Yeah.
Great. Thank you very much.
Integration Smart Solutions.
And we are already deep into technical parts and smart solutions. What would you say? How do ConnectOne and Intrivo IoT enhance the functionality of connected doors? Can you please share a story where these products significantly impacted operations?
Yeah, so maybe let's start with what is what, huh? So we have the ConnectOne. The ConnectOne is an on-premise connector, which means the customer wants to have it on a local server somehow and not in the cloud. That is the one part. And the other one is the Intrivo IoT connector. That is where actually a customer wants to use our dashboard. So and also is allowing us to operate this data into a cloud. Of course, there are somehow, so either it is sensitive for the customer that they don't want to have it in the cloud, that can be possible. Therefore, the ConnectOne is perfectly fine and the right tool to go for. And there we integrate it then into the building management system of the customer. And the other one is the Intrivo IoT connector set. And there you have it in the cloud. Talking about significant benefits in operation, Aurore already spoke about the university in Singapore, and actually they were able to use and facilitate their technical staff on site quite well with this solution. So I think I mentioned before, you know, what is very time consuming is always to go onto a door to somehow of course, then check what is going on. And it can be just the push the emergency button. It can be a minor obstruction. Yeah, someone that is putting something to the door, and they are really, you know, that the solution there helped for them to enhance their operation in the building. In the usage of efficient facility management people, that would be the one I can share for sure.
And Tony, I have another example also in mind. If I can add, because again, probably you will be able to explain it better than I could. But we did an installation which is, I think, very interesting also for, it's different, another benefit again to this solution, in an airport in Asia, with the little cleaning robots. So maybe you want to explain this one, because it is an illustration of yet another application of the solution.
And are you allowed to tell us which airport that is?
I don't think we can.
Okay. Okay. It's an Asian airport.
Yes.
Not sure if we can share that. No. But anyway, yes. I mean, that shows you how versatile again this data integration can be. And in this specific use case, an airport in Asia was using cleaning robots, and these, of course, are in an area where they somehow can charge and you know. So they are in a protected area somehow, where no one else should be able to enter except of staff. And what they did is they placed the sliding door in front of this area. So then there is still one issue, which is usually sliding doors are operated with so either switches, so push buttons, or with motion sensors. So that would allow anyone to go in there and out there, which was not desired by the customer. But the other thing is the robots somehow need to pass this door. So if you don't have a button and the robot cannot push a button, and you don't have something
if
like...
If you like the hands to push the button as well.
Yeah, exactly. And if you don't want to use motion sensors, then what was the perfect solution there was integrating the robot signal somehow via IoT into our door. So what now happens is the robot approaches the door, sends a signal to the cloud, and that is integrated with our IoT solution somehow, and then the door opens for the robot. There is a funny video around that where exactly that happened. Yeah, you know, like the door just opens like magically when the robot comes by somehow, and then is able to clean and do all the stuff that it's supposed to do. Yeah, another interesting use case. Yeah.
I will look that one up. So robot, Asian airport, approaching door, something like that in YouTube. Okay, I will look that up. Maybe we'll then find out which airport it is.
Yes. No, it's a funny story, but it is just to illustrate that customers have needs, and we do have solutions, and we listen carefully to what the customers need and adapt. So this solution can do different things, and we just illustrated a few together in the podcast, but it's really the customers listen to the possibilities, and they find the applications themselves. So sometimes it's very funny to listen to how this process is done. It's not only, okay, we provide something and you take it or not. It's just we listen and we make sure that the solution is suitable for the need of the customer. So it's this partnership, which is really nice and
So you ensure that whenever I do have an additional need, maybe, or a need that changed, you will come up with a solution for that.
Yes, we will discuss, make sure we understand exactly what is critical, and find the perfect technical answer.
Uh-huh. And please take us through the service structure for these technologies. So how does Dormakaba ensure the continuous support for the users of these smart solutions?
Yeah. So first of all, of course, we have our really classical physical maintenance contracts, right? So everything as it was before. So we will still come and visit because, you know, cleaning and repairing the door obviously needs some physical presence still. But on top of that, the digital solutions now enable us to provide either some maintenance on demand, you know, or already mentioned, there are some doors that are more critical to customers, and, you know, being aware of what are the doors that are running the most, that are having the most cycles on, that are most critical to my facility somehow, matters to customers in terms of convenience and availability of those doors. So that is one aspect. The other aspect is that we have with IoT connected doors also the possibility to perform some remote services, right? So we have an application that's called Supported Service. So there, the service business units of Dormakaba are able to also see the data that is coming from the doors and are able to determine, you know, if there is an issue, they are able to see what is the issue right up front without going there. And they can either try to resolve it remotely by, you know, performing a remote reset, for example, of the operator. Sometimes even that is sufficient, or providing support to the customer on site via telephone. Yeah, I mean, just please perform a program switch reset, for example. Maybe this is already sufficient. On top of that, we with these insights we gather remotely, we are able to see what could be the potential issue and also bring the right spare part right away, right? So you don't need to travel multiple times to the site and can really bring the door back to operation as soon as possible. So that is a real advantage also for us in the service environment and for the customer when it comes to the availability of the doors. And, you know, just because we are always talking about now about if doors not work again, they work very reliable, right? That is not the fact that they always break. But of course, you know, also if you have a proper maintenance, there can be events that happen that lead to malfunctions on a door, right? Be it something external or really a component that is running into failure, and there, time to resolution is the most critical for a customer, right? It must be available in time because it's part of their facility, it's part of their facade even. One saying that the Americans had when I was there last time was, if the door is not closed, it's not safe. So that is a bit there, how they see the world somehow. So that is an important one.
In terms of that, my apartment door was very safe because it was very, very close.
It was even too safe.
I still cry a bit thinking about that situation. Thank you very much.
Monitoring access and enhancing security.
Since both of you've had multiple examples and loads of experience, in what ways do Dormakaba products allow for the monitoring of access that operations teams should be excited about as well?
I think we did already spoil quite a lot. we did explain some elements. So in operations, how can you be excited with this solution? For me, it's really the fact that you can get the information anytime, anywhere. So this is basically what is the most exciting. The fact that you can control and you know what's happening in a building. So for me, this is the part which is the most exciting, because when you have the knowledge, then you can take action and you can find the correct solutions to each situation. So for me, this is the most exciting part, and then the rest is just, let's say, execution of the maintenance, structuring the approach. But the for me, at least, Tony, I don't know if you agree, it's really this aspect which I love and find very exciting.
Agree, Oro, absolutely. And, even thinking about the whole entry work story, so, you know, from an architect's perspective, starting with a planning 360, then, you know, there the data gets planned, and then you go into execution planning, then you go into installation. All the data that was created in the very first point, you know, moves through all the cycles from the planning to installation into operation, which is kind of exciting to me as well. So really, having the whole building life cycle in mind, and with operation there, focusing on you know what really the building operator can do, because obviously that is the longest lifespan of a building, right? So we build it, and even if it's a big building, in a few years, maybe 3-4 years from planning to then final handover. And then this building keeps running for decades. So therefore, the operation part is kind of important, and providing a proper insight in our now more digital world into this, I think, is a very exciting thing.
Yes, and the future looks great as well, because once you capture the data, you can place it in different tools. You can digest it in different ways, and in the future I have no doubt that, as you said, this data, so it is already integrated to a large extent in the building life cycle, and now we see more and more digital twins. So Wilma, I don't know if you see this trend, the fact that people, when they plan the construction of a building, so of course now everything is done in a digital way, but then when we come to operations, so installation, okay, you still use the data in the digital twin, and then when you come to the operation part, you are able, now that you have the data and you have the digital twin, the next step is just to place back the data inside. So in the future, I have absolutely no doubt that we are going in that direction. We are going to this optimal visualization of all of this data in the correct place. So not only the doors, but also all the data around electricity, the heating system, anything around a building, everything connected. Today in a building management system, and tomorrow in a 3D model, really. This will be really, really exciting as well. And it's coming.
And the two of you told us a lot about operations. And of course, due to the responsibility that you have in the company, you're very close to especially service questions. And would you say that monitoring is also something that architects might be interested in, or maybe even excited about, or is it just something for the operational teams?
For me, what I can see is, I visited an architect in London, and he kept telling me about the humanity. So when you plan the construction of a building, you take into account how the people will live in the building, how they will feel, how they will, how they will be, and you want the people to feel well. There is this responsibility of the architect to build a nice future and nice buildings for people to stay in and to work in, or to it depends on the type of building. So they do care about the well-being of the occupants. And so, of course, they are not exactly, they will not be part of the operations. That being said, they still need to have in mind what will happen next once the building is up and running. How the people will move inside the building, will it be optimal? So even if, yes, they do want to make sure they build the building, they still care about how the people will live inside and how will be the experience. And connecting the doors and connecting everything that can be is relevant to reach this goal.
Yeah, and architects, you know, they have a real, I think that it's a great opportunity. They have a real impact in the very early stage of designing this building and foreseeing those solutions. They have a real impact on the end user experience in the end, on the one side, and on the other side as well. You know, if we think further, if we look ahead, if we think about analytics that we can build out of this data, so what is the people flow in the building, maybe by enhancing the door efficiency calculator to become a part of that also, giving some real information about, you know, what is the energy opportunities that we have by choosing this or that model, it can, you know, circle back. This information we gather can circle back into our architects' plannings by real life data that is coming out of the building. So I think it's a great opportunity also for architects, right, to think into this direction and give end customers in the end a great experience with their building for a more efficient, more sustainable building operation.
And the two of you earlier in this episode mentioned two very well-known buildings. Aurore, you mentioned the Taj Mahal, and Tony, you mentioned the White House. Project that into the future. How do you balance enhanced security features with aesthetic demands in design?
That's an easy question, because we are working on the of course the design of the solutions of the design of buildings is super important, and the design of everything that composes the building is also important. So why do I say that it's an easy one? We do have every time that we design a solution, we make sure that it is either a statement in terms of design. So if you want the door to be particularly visible, which means like if you want to have it in black or with a specific design that people can see, like a revolving door, which is really nice standing out, yes, we allow the architects to have these type of solutions. And then again, if you need something which is less visible, complete glass, something which embarks all the technology inside, but yet which is not something that you see too much in the design, it is, we also have solutions for that. And in regards to IoT, we are working in the direction of developing everything related to access control and related to IoT connectors. We try to make them smaller and smaller, so they will not disappear, okay, but they are getting smaller and smaller. So for me, why do I say it's an easy question? It's because this is something we already are carefully working on, and we do have, in my eyes, we do have beautiful design, and we are always, we keep improving it all the time.
Thank you.
Future of building management.
And now let's have a look into the future. What would you say? What is Dormakaba's vision for the future of building management?
The future will be connected, will include technical reliable data, always up to date, and the future will be easy. So this is, no, I'm laughing, but this is really what we aim, what we want to do. We want to make the life easier for our customers, and we really work in that direction. So we do have some solutions today, and we keep improving and improving the solutions so that their life is easier and gets easier in the future. And why does it sound so complex today? Because of digitalization. So we do have a multitude of solutions and tools, and everything must interact smoothly. Sometimes, depending on the application, you don't always have a standard. So it does generate quite a lot of complexity. Then we are in the building construction environment, sorry, which means that you do have to comply to a lot of laws and norms and regulations. Some of them are regional or local. Some of them are more or less global. But you do have to comply with a lot of things in order to ensure the security of the people in case of an emergency, a fire or something. So you must comply to quite a lot of things, which makes the life of the architects and planners quite complex sometimes in some situations. There are many elements which create complexity, and we try to make to find solutions to make life easier and always easier for the customers.
I would say Aurora just said it perfectly, right? Making life easier for customers through the whole chain, you know, from planning to installation to operation. That is really our goal. And I would say, you know, the future is bright, actually. I think we started this journey quite a few years ago only. And I think we got kind of far already. You know, today we're talking about connected doors. In future, we hopefully will be able to predict events even so that, you know, before something happens, we are aware of that. And of course, this takes time, right? The whole data gathering and the analysis and those kind of things. Those will take some time, but I cannot imagine in 15 years that we have a world without connected access solutions. I'm pretty sure that this will be a very common standard. And and today also, you know, there are so many interesting solutions you mentioned, or we mentioned the door efficiency calculator. Thinking about merging these things, so not only talking about digital connected doors, but also on analysis on the energy consumption somehow, really of energy that flows through the doors, and helping customers to optimize this scenario to get more environmental friendly and save costs in the end as well, right? So I think the future is bright. The opportunities are huge. We can still do a lot, and I'm happy where we stand today and looking forward of what we will achieve in the future.
And I can see and hear both of yours genuine excitement about that. In this episode, you mentioned a lot of help and additional technical information that are very helpful. All the data insights that you have. You mentioned the IoT, how this revolutionizes the planning and the operating of a building and the doors. And let's have a look at the architects. How do you envision the role of architects evolving in the integration of connected doors and smart technologies into building design?
It's already, some stuff seem a bit futuristic, yet they are really happening today. So the world of architecture, and especially in regards to planning, has evolved a lot recently with BIM building. We went... Not so long ago, the people were still designing on paper, and then they used 2D softwares to design and to collaborate and to plan new buildings. And now they use 3D, and now they use 3D in a collaborative way. So this is the tools are evolving quite a lot and quite fast. And it is very important for us as a manufacturer to make sure we can support architects in this world, make sure we can provide the information they need, make sure we can provide them in the correct format. So we still have this technical knowledge that this is our duty as a manufacturer. We know exactly what solution fits best. But now the challenge is to make sure we deliver the information at the right time in the correct format to for them to be able to use the new tools they need to use. So it is the challenge we have today. And this is what we are working on.
Yeah. Also there, Aurore, I think that is perfectly right. Not long ago, you know, I just started to buy a house, and all the documentation is on paper. So in future or today, of course, this wouldn't be the case. Yeah. So I now at the moment need to start to get some hands on the old documentation. Hopefully in future that is easier. Yeah? If you buy a new house, everything is kind of digital. What I really like is that with the Planning 360, architects are really able with a BIM model to include our assets in this planning and envision it. Look what it sees like, looks like, and somehow experience you know what will be the design in this building. So really having a proper envision of that. And moving forward, also there, Aurore said it, with digital twin moving forward, maybe this is even then something in the end that a customer will have, you know, seeing this in 3D and interacting in this kind of way. So having a real digital twin of the building. I think that is, again, quite exciting. The possibilities are limitless, I would even say. And we as a manufacturer, and that also Aurore pointed out pretty well, We are preparing and building real solutions that are already existing for going along that path and doing our part really to somehow add to this whole development of how buildings are constructed and operated then in the end. So yeah, I think that is exciting. I'm looking forward to that really.
And final question, if you had the chance to rebuild a building that is already on this planet with all the technologies that we discussed in this episode that are available to you right now, which one would you love to redo?
I would help Tony build his house.
I wanted to say the same. Actually, that would be
so. We agree on that.
So perfect. So you see, there definitely is a need. Now, jokes aside, I think what is very exciting is for me the challenges. So the buildings which require a lot of security. So yes, of course, we always like prisons. Exactly, I had this in my mind in regard to the other podcast, but also something regarding military and governments. You know, these types of critical buildings where you need to ensure a high level of security, and I think these types of buildings are very interesting to work on. You have so many challenges. You have challenges inside the challenges. So building an office building is challenging, but building, you do have to comply to quite a lot of rules. You need to make sure that people are happy and want to work in these types of environments. You do have some needs of security, but I think it's even more technical and advanced in these types of very secure buildings. So, yeah, interesting.
And I would even say all of them, Roma. All of them. You know, in service we are working with what is there already. So with existing buildings, and the advantage is we can really retrofit this solution to also many of our operators that were installed 10 to 15 years ago. So therefore, you know, it is today, if you plan a new building, you know, I think this is what you should do. But also if you have an existing building, you can use the advantages of this solution by retrofitting just your existing doors with that. And so therefore, I would say all of them for everyone who is interested in going on this journey.
This is a wonderful final sentence for this podcast. This was another episode of Because It Matters. Aurore and Tony, thank you very much for having been my guests on this episode. And thank you for all the listeners out there. Have a fantastic day.
Thank you very much, Vilma. Thank you very much to you, Tony, as well, and to everyone listening to this podcast. Don't hesitate to reach out, of course, to your local Dormakaba teams in case you have questions, remarks, or want to work on if you want to work on a project or have a need for service. Don't hesitate to contact us, and thank you very much for your attention.
Yeah, also from my side, Wilma, thank you very much. Aurore, thank you very much for this nice discussion and podcast. And to all of the listeners, thank you as well. Thank you for listening and staying with us. If you have any questions, don't hesitate. Reach out to us, to your Dormakaba teams. And looking forward to that. Have a good day. Bye.
Bye.
That was Because It Matters, a Dormakaba podcast. New episodes every month wherever you can listen to a podcast and on dormakaba.com.